Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault. Very pleased to be joined, as we are every week, by the Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, Dr. Lena Lee. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here, as always.
And also joining us today is Christine Allingham, who's a public health nurse in the sexual health program. We'll be talking to her in just a couple minutes. But Christine, welcome. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Okay. So, Dr. Lee, as we do every week, we will start with you and we will get an update on the respiratory season.
Yeah. So, really, so far, the respiratory season is looking continuing to be very stable. We do have numbers that are published by the health unit once a week on Tuesdays. So we have an update on our website from yesterday. It looks like we have a stable number of COVID-19 cases being detected with testing in our region. And so that is looking to be about the same for the past month or so, maybe a little bit less than a month. In terms of non-COVID-19 respiratory viruses, we are seeing, we have less testing of, and so we can't track that directly, but we do see it indirectly through the ER visits in our region. And we're seeing really relatively fewer ER visits due to respiratory infections compared to, let's say, before Christmas. And so that has fallen quite significantly and is stable as well. And things are looking, quite good right now, both for COVID-19 and the respiratory season. And so my thought was to actually move away from talking about the respiratory season for the time being. I think no news is good news sometimes. So just not spending so much of our time on the radio talking about the respiratory season, because from now until if things pick up again, the message would be pretty much the same, right? It's stable, things are going well. We do, of course, continue to have cases. We continue to have people in hospital, sometimes in the ICU. We continue to have outbreaks, but those, as long as they're at a fairly low level, the updates are probably not that interesting. And so my thought was to focus on other things that we do at the health unit. And then, of course, if and when the respiratory infections rise again, whether it be COVID-19 or something else, then it would be time to start talking about it again and think about what we do as a group, what the numbers are, all of those other things.
I think that, you put it best there, no news is good news. And a lot of people have been waiting for you to say something like that. And, me included, it is good. I mean, I look at the things like the one outbreak with four cases, and we just see these numbers continue to go down, which is fantastic, or to remain stable. So I agree with you 100%, and I think our listeners would be pretty happy to hear that the situation is not serious. I don't know if this is the proper way to put it, but it is not serious enough to talk about as often as we do, when there is a bevy of information that you could be providing us on other subjects, and you would like to bring a couple of those to the table today, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one thing that I want to really talk about, which is a reminder, is about our vaccine clinics. So for us at the health unit, we do have two different types of vaccine clinics. So one is any people who want to get vaccinated in our in-house clinics here at the health unit, or sometimes we go out to the community and do a whole bevy of vaccines, then You can let us know if you would like to book into one of our vaccine clinics by calling us. You can go on our website with more information about our vaccine clinics, and then we'll book you in. The other type of vaccine clinic that we do is specifically school-based clinics where kids in high school primarily. We would go to the high school and offer three specific vaccines. So that's hepatitis B, HPV, and meningitis vaccines. And for those vaccines, it's not a matter of calling us to book an appointment or anything like that. We go to the kids' schools. And so we prepare the schools, we give consent forms to the kids to bring home and get signed to bring back. What I really want to highlight here is that we really, really need those consent forms. We will not vaccinate kids, unfortunately, who don't have the consent forms with them. When we go in on the school vaccine day. And that's the policy that we have from the school, as well as our own policy, to make sure that kids are vaccinated. So I think sometimes there's a bit of confusion because sometimes for these kids, if they're in high school, oftentimes they can consent to vaccines and other health interventions on their own. And so they don't typically need to consent for a lot of other things. If the same kid were being vaccinated in our in-house clinic, they wouldn't necessarily need to bring a consent form from their parents. But because we're doing it in the school setting, we want to make sure that everything is as expected. We've done our due diligence on making sure that the parents know. And so we really need those consent forms and would not vaccinate kids without them. So if you have somebody in school, one of your kids is in school and they need to get the vaccines that I listed before, and you know that the health unit is coming to the school, please keep in mind that a consent form is needed in order for us to do the vaccine. Otherwise, we might be in a situation where the kid and the parents and everyone is, and we are also disappointed because everybody wants for the kid to be vaccinated, but for the lack of consent form, we're not able to do it. So that's something that I really want to highlight because we've been having some issues with that lately, and so that has made it, I think, a little bit frustrating for everyone. And spreading the word to as many venues as we can will hopefully help prevent that down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just so convenient too, the way that the health unit makes this really reachable for pretty much everybody.
Yeah, we really, I mean, it's so critical for kids to get vaccinated at that age. And it's a much more convenient place to get vaccinated is at the school. You're already there. We're already there. Everyone's sort of in the same place and ready. And so that's definitely the hope. And I think, you know, during COVID-19, it's gotten us a little bit off our games, and the schedule is a little bit unusual. And the way that, you know, I think people, you start forgetting how the routine usually goes for kids. And so getting back into it's taking a little bit of time to build that momentum. But we're definitely coming into schools. We're doing those catch-up clinics. We want to focus especially on older kids who may not have gotten these vaccines when they would typically have, but during COVID-19 we had stopped going into schools, and now that we're back, we're catching up for the older kids, and we want to catch them before they go off to wherever they go after high school.
All right. We thank you as always, Dr. Lee, for the information that you're providing. I understand you're going to stay with us as we now bring Christine into the conversation. Christine Allingham, public health nurse in the sexual health program. Welcome to the conversation, Christine.
Thank you.
We are currently in Sexual and Reproductive Health Awareness Week, and I imagine there's a theme to this year's campaign. Can you share that with us?
The theme that was chosen was that we live in an information age, but not all information is accessible, useful, or even true. So for the week of February 13th to 17th, we'll be spreading awareness of Sexual and Reproductive Health Awareness Week. Action Canada is the lead for this campaign, so we are working with them to learn how to separate sexual health facts from sexual health fiction, and we'll be sharing all this information throughout the week on social media. Also, there's lots of more information on their website, which is www.actioncanadashr.org/getthefacts. They help advocate for sexual health and reproductive rights in Canada.
I'll ask you this one, and Dr. Lee, I'll get you to weigh in on this as well. But we know that this is a very important message for sexual health, isn't it? And Christine, we'll start with you with your response.
So we believe that everyone should have the right to informative, inclusive, and factual information when it comes to sexual health. We and know where to go to get the best information instead of searching on the internet. Like we all know that it can be an overwhelming place for any health information to be searching Google for that. So having access to correct information is essential to be able to make informed decisions about our lives, bodies, and relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And Dr. Lee, you can weigh in here as well. It is so important that people know from a young but appropriate age and continue to expand their knowledge of sexual health and the reproductive health as well.
Yeah, and I really want to stress two things. One is how important that is for people's health, especially when, like you said, at a relatively young age, young people, oftentimes there's not a whole lot going on in their health. They're pretty healthy. They don't think necessarily too much about their day-to-day health in the same way that an older adult might. And certainly, the ways in which we come in contact with younger people in the medical community is largely because of sexual and reproductive health questions or issues. And so this is something that I think is really important to just think about and consider. The other thing I wanted to talk about is just how sometimes embarrassing or confusing the information can be, and you might have questions that you don't know if it's okay to ask, or you're a little bit embarrassed to ask, you don't know even how to phrase it. All of these things are so normal and a part of just sorting out what's true, what isn't. And sometimes the internet is a really good resource, but sometimes it can lead you astray. And the trouble, if you don't know, is that you don't know if you're being led astray sometimes. And so having a reputable resource is actually really, really helpful to understand, even, a starting point for more information for you. And also, I think one thing I want to stress in terms of the second point about, asking questions, not being sure, being a little bit embarrassed, is that there is information that we can provide here at the health unit, and we can also sort of get you to other resources for further reading. And it's not, to us certainly, it's not embarrassing to be asked these questions. I've also worked in sexual health clinics in other places, and there's all sorts of questions that people can ask, and all sorts of things that you can see, and that's a normal part of our work. And it's not something that we necessarily bat an eye on. We're happy to always answer questions, talk about things, even if they're a little bit unusual.
Now, Christine, as Dr. Lee mentioned there, there's a number of resources and links on the website healthunit.org that can help. And there are also sexual health clinics out there, right?
We have lots of sexual health clinics all through Lees Granville Lanark. We have locations in Brockville, Smiths Falls, Gananoque, Kempville, Perth, Carleton Place, and Elmont throughout the week. So there's lots of options there. The number is 1-800-660-5853, and you can give us a call and we can help kind of pick the closest location or whatever works with your schedule. We can accommodate some walk-ins in some of the clinics, but it is best to just give us a call and we can make an appointment just to make sure that there's someone there to chat with you and see you. The best way to kind of figure out the different locations and where they are and times would be our website, or also for sure giving us a call and someone can kind of go through that with you.
I got to tell you that healthunit.org, it's just such a fountain of information. And I'm glad Dr. Lee brought up the embarrassment part, because there are some issues. Just before we let you, the both of you, go, there are some issues that may need a one-on-one conversation. Well, I mean, that do need a one-on-one conversation. And when you get into that one-on-one, that embarrassment can be cut down dramatically, because you're dealing with a health professional who is there to answer these potentially embarrassing questions. I'll get you both to comment on that. Christine, I'll start with you.
There's lots of examples that would require kind of coming into our clinic and having a conversation with us. One that comes to mind would be talking about pregnancy. It's important to have all the facts and options before making a decision. We do support everyone with whatever choice that they do make in a confidential setting. So we'd work with you to kind of get all the information and be able to make an informed decision on that. Some other services that we would provide that would require kind of an assessment and informed decisions and the correct information would be getting STI testing and treatment. We also provide low-cost birth control. We provide pregnancy testing and counseling around that, Plan B and Pap tests as well. So there's a kind of a variety of things that you could kind of chat with us about and that we could offer to help with.
And just before we let you go, Dr. Lee, if you could just comment on that, the importance of those one-on-one conversations and breaking down those embarrassment barriers or those other barriers that people may face.
Yeah, I think this is a topic where unfortunately, people may come in feeling a certain way because they were taught that way, or they had spoken to friends and this is the information that they got. Sometimes there's a little bit of rumor involved in sexual and reproductive health. And so again, having those conversations with one of our nurses who are really so excellent at the sexual health clinic can help sort out not just what's true, what's not, and bust some myths if there's any in play, but also if people are welcome, well informed, it's still useful sometimes to speak to our nurses, as Christine talked about, if they have symptoms that they're not sure if it's related to an STI, if they have questions about counseling, planning for reproductive health and reproductive choices down the road. All of these things are part of what I think is important when people think about, oh, what does it mean to be healthy? I want to maybe nudge people to think about their reproductive and sexual health as part of their overall health, and taking the time and care to get information and make some plans and think things through as part of taking care of their overall health as well.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Lee, I want to thank you again for taking the time to speak with us today. It's always good to have you here. And Christine Allingham, public health nurse in the sexual health program, thank you as well. Once again, healthunit.org to get all sorts of great information and the phone number to call 1-800-660-5853. Dr. Lee, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
And Christine, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Perot. Have a wonderful afternoon.